Hello and welcome to this first podcast hosted by MANCAD and the British Academy of Audiology. MANCAD, or Manchester Centre for Audiology and Deafness, is located at Manchester University in the UK, and I'm Gabby Saunders. I'm a senior research fellow at MANCAD. I've in fact just moved back to the UK, which is where I'm originally from. So I'm back home and I'm also at the home of UK audiology. The purpose of these podcasts is to support ongoing learning during this COVID-19 crisis. We want to do that by providing information about topics that are pertinent to the practice of audiology and to people with hearing loss under the current circumstances. But having said that, we're going to continue these podcasts on into the future, even when life has returned to normal, whatever that might be. So every month, we're going to be discussing a topic we hope will be of interest to hearing care providers everywhere. Each podcast will be very informal. It'll be about 15 to 20 minutes. If you want to provide us with ideas about future topics for our podcasts or ask follow-up questions or give us feedback, send me an email. And you can find out my email address as well as other information about the podcast and also about our online journal club at the URL as follows. It's the Manchester MANCAD website. So the URL is research.bmh.manchester.ac.uk/MANCAD, MANCAD. All right, so on to today. Our inaugural speaker is Professor Kevin Munro. Kevin is director of MANCAD. He's the deputy director of the NIHR Manchester Biomedical Research Center and theme lead for hearing health. And he's going to be answering a few questions that I'm going to pose him on the topic of face misery. To face masks and impair speech understanding. So I hope you find the upcoming content interesting and informative. So Kevin, I want to begin by asking you to set the scene by telling us why you think face masks and face mask misery are a timely topic for this inaugural MANCAD podcast.
Well, first of all, thank you for the invite to do this, Gabby, and gives me the opportunity to formally welcome you to Manchester. Like you, I'm at home just now, and I'm going to try to keep the background noise of the kids and the dog to a minimum. But back to your question. So as of today, the 6th of May, we don't know if the government's advice to the public about wearing face coverings will change. But you only have to go outside for your daily exercise to see that the number of people who are already wearing face coverings is on the increase. And my interest is that, or our interest within the Manchester Centre for Audiology and Deafness, is that being able to see someone's face and mouth when you're talking to them is important. And it's important for at least three reasons. One is, first of all, it helps you to know that they're actually talking to you. So it helps you to detect speech, but it can also be useful to help you to discriminate between different speech sounds. The second point is that seeing the speaker's face probably reduces the effort required when you're listening to someone, particularly, you know, if you're in a noisy environment or you have a hearing loss or the conversation is not particularly predictable, then, you know, a lot of cognitive effort could be required to listen, and seeing someone's face probably reduces that. And the third final point I was going to make is that seeing someone's face, it guides your attention. So you know who's speaking and you know where to look. So if there's widespread use of face coverings, there may be unintended consequences for people who have hearing difficulties.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. So you've talked about some of the possible consequences. Are there any others that you want to talk about?
Well, in terms of unintended consequences, I suppose there are two issues. One is general issues, and then there are ones specific to hearing difficulties. In terms of the general points, which is not really our area, we don't know yet for sure if face coverings reduce the risk of a wearer spreading infection to others, but we do know that face coverings might encourage people to be less careful with measures that are known to work, such as keeping 2 meters away, washing your hands, and it might encourage people to touch their face and transfer virus to their eyes. But if we put these big issues to one side, I am interested, and you and our colleagues within the Manchester Centre for Audiology Deafness have these specific concerns for people with hearing difficulty, because if you can't see someone's mouth or face, it can interfere with their ability to communicate. And there are really two separate things that can happen if you start covering someone's face. One could be that it reduces the visual cues you get, so it's reducing what we commonly refer to as lip breathing or speech breathing. The other area is, depending on the type of mask or face covering you're using, it may distort or reduce the level of speech that comes from the speaker, the person who's wearing the face covering. And, you know, when I wrote an article recently on this topic, I'd just come home from the supermarket and the assistant was behind a Perspex panel and was wearing a face mask, one with a filter in it. And I know they spoke to me, but I didn't know what they were asking me. But I knew it was predictable. They either wanted my loyalty card to swipe or they wanted me to stick my bank card into the machine and pay. So I did that. But, you know, it really brought it home to me. If it becomes the norm that everyone or most people are wearing face coverings, then this has potentially big impact on people who have hearing difficulties.
Yeah, I could totally see that. But now face masks aren't entirely new. I mean, dentists have been wearing them during, you know, dental appointments for quite a while. Has there been any work on the impacts that they have? And why, you know, what should we take from that?
Well, you know, so anything that covers your face can definitely act as a barrier and remove or effortless sort of conversation. But it depends on the situation you're in. If you have good hearing and it's a quiet environment, you know the topic, then that might not be especially challenging compared to someone who's in a very noisy environment, who has a hearing loss and isn't able to predict the conversation. So it is well known that face coverings can have an impact. I'm not sure it's been systematically investigated, because up until now, there hasn't been widespread use of face masks being used by the general public.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So are there any solutions to the problems that these face masks will cause, or is there anything in the works that you know of?
Right. So if the government policy changes and face coverings are recommended as a precautionary measure, in Manchester Centre for Audiology Deafness, we've been exploring a variety of options, and there are really two main categories. One is to wear a kind of traditional surgical stroke dental face mask, but you can get these with a transparent panel that allows you to still see the mouth. They're not very easy to acquire in the UK just now, so that's a potential limitation there. The other option is to use a transparent face shield or visor. And these are the things that we're now used to seeing on television that people in hospitals are wearing, that you have a transparent visor that starts at your forehead, goes down to your chin and bends around to your ear. And that really is the choice that's available right now.
Okay. And is there any data out there comparing the face mask with the transparent, with the transparent panel versus the traditional face mask?
Right. So there's some information out there, but there's not a lot. I mean, I think we're about to see it increase. There was, for example, a study published in the Journal of the American Academy of Audiology in 2017 by Sam Atchison and colleagues. And that does exactly as you've just said. It compares each understanding when someone's wearing a conventional surgical mask with a surgical mask that has a transparent panel. So just to be clear, not the transparent visor that I'm talking about, but a mask that either completely covers your mouth or there's a transparent panel. And the bottom line really was, the more hearing loss, the more benefit you receive from the transparent panel, so you can see a speaker's and mouth. And the listening task that was used in that study, the performance for what we would classify as a moderate hearing loss increased from 75% when it was a traditional mask and you couldn't see the mouth to around 90% when you could see the mouth. That's a significant jump. And for people with a more severe hearing loss, their performance was on average 25% and increased to about 50% when you could see their mouth. So that comparison, as I say though, was using the surgical mask and not the visor, which is one of the options that we think might now be available.
So that was, it sounds a great idea to have a transparent panel over your mouth with a mask. But something that comes to my mind immediately is, are there going to be issues like with moisture building up? So it all steams up and then you can't actually see the person's lips. Anyway,
yeah.
Did they look at that in the study?
I think so. So there may well be a whole range of practical issues, things that affect the acceptability of these options that I just mentioned, and these really need to be investigated. So, for example, you know, people's glasses steam up if you come in from a warm room or go outside into the cold, or vice versa. Wearing a face visor for some people might feel a bit claustrophobic. It might mean you can't get in to get your glasses on. There might be reflections on them. So in addition to, you know, simulating what the acoustic properties are like with these face coverings and doing experiments to measure people's performance, I think there's a big need to get a group of people to try these different options at home so we can really understand what are the pros and what are the cons and what are the things that we might be able to do things about to help people.
Yeah, in fact, totally off script, I actually heard something yesterday that actually the wearing of masks when you wear a hearing aid is also a problem, because people have to have the mask looped over their ears and their hearing aid is there. And there were issues with people removing the mask and the hearing aids going flying. So we're looking at this for, as a hearing aid user doesn't need a mask, but there's actually that added complication as well. So
yeah, I've also had someone email me to say that exact point, that they've, I guess because of their career, I've had to use a mask as well as a hearing aid, and they spoke about how difficult it could be for the reasons that you've just explained.
Yeah. Okay, so now I'm just going to flip back. You had mentioned that you'd written an article, and I know that article was published by The Conversation, and a lot of people might not know what The Conversation is. Could you tell us what that is?
Right. So The Conversation is really an online magazine. It started overseas in Australia, I think. It's been in the UK for maybe 7 or 8 years now. It's written by academics and researchers, but it's written in plain English for the public. So the strap line for The Conversation, and their website is theconversation.com. Their strap line is academic rigor with journalistic flair, I think. But anyone can submit articles. If they're published, then they're available for anyone across the world to republish, as long as they acknowledge the source, so it came from The Conversation, and you're not meant to make any changes without getting permission. So I was already aware of The Conversation, and in fact, maybe about 4 years ago, I published an article about the low and the slow uptake of hearing aids. So it just seemed the right sort of outlet for reaching the public about an issue that's clearly of importance right now to people across the country and across the world.
And what have you heard from the public who've read your piece?
What have I heard?
Yeah, from people who've read it.
Yeah, well, okay, so that's difficult to know where to start, because it's probably the one thing that I have written that has attracted the most interest. So I've lost count, but the number of emails are in the hundreds. There's been comments on my Twitter account, on Facebook. I've also posted on, for example, the Facebook account of the British Academy of Audiology, and there's some comments there. And then there's responses on the Conversation website, because when you view the article, you're able to add a comment beneath it and it alerts the author. What I do know is that there are a lot of anxious people out there. And because of the article, I've been contacted by, for example, the National Deaf Children's Society, because parents are concerned. I've had discussions with Action on Hearing Loss. People from overseas, again, Australia, have been in touch to say, can they reproduce it? But I suppose the thing that I've noticed the most are the individual concerns that have come in. And the very first concern that came in, and I don't recall if this was came in by email or if it's on the Conversation page, is an academic, a professor in Surrey, who contacted me to say that she has a hearing problem and she can manage with Zoom because she can be at home and alter the volume, but she's extremely anxious if she has to go into work and teach when people are wearing face masks. There was also an article, an email I got from, I think it was an occupational therapist who has a hearing loss, had to be redeployed, was wearing a mask. Quite a few from members of the public expressing concern, and notably from parents who are anxious because their children has a hearing impairment and they're wondering what's going to happen to their development and how are they going to cope if they're not able to see our mouse or their teacher's mouse. So a big interest from the public right now. So clearly an important issue.
Yeah, clearly that really underlines it. Okay, so from a research perspective, a ManCAD, what's next? What are you thinking of doing?
Yeah, so you know, we've been discussing this within the Manchester Centre for Audiology and Deafness, and we have a number of plans I can share with you. The first one is Michael Stone, whose background is in acoustics and engineering. He has recorded some audio simulations of a speaker wearing a face covering. So he's recorded a passage from Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland with a surgical mask, with a filter mask, and with a visor. And maybe one thing to note is that he's recorded someone who's a very clear speaker with only one other talker in the background. If there was multi-talker babble and someone had an accent or didn't speak so clearly, it'd be a lot more difficult. But we've got these recordings, and what Michael is going to do is to make them available. They're going to appear, I think, tomorrow on the website of ENT News. And I will also, just to update people, provide details on my account. So if people are not already following me, what is my Twitter handle? I think it's all lowercase, Kevin J. Munro, J for James. And I will give an update where that information is going to be. But as I say, it's worth noting that Michael's recordings are under what are probably pretty good recording conditions with a clear speaker. And one final point to note about that is the real impact on the quality of the speech is when you have the face visor, some solid surface in front of you that really is starting to attenuate the high frequencies. The second thing we're hoping to do is to have an audiovisual test online so people can complete this test right now from home. And that will allow us to compare a surgical mask with and without the transparent panel and the face visor. So the surgical mask, it covers the mouth, but it doesn't greatly interfere with the speech signal. I mean, it would depend on the quality of the mask and how tight it is to your mouth. On the other hand, the face visor enables you to clearly visualize the face, but it will distort the speech signal by removing some of these high frequencies. So, you know, what is going to be the biggest problem for people with a hearing problem? Is it going to be the covering the mouth so you can't see it, or is it going to be the visors that distort speech? Third thing we're intending to do is a survey with the public on their views about face coverings. And the fourth thing that we're discussing right now is a trial to look specifically at these practical aspects that you alluded to earlier about, you know, are they comfortable, do they steam up, what goes on there. So, you know, lots to keep us busy, but clearly of real practical importance. And the public really want the answers to these questions.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I think it's going to be interesting to design experiments that reflect real world interaction as well as sort of the more standardized lab tests. And in a way, that's where we'll really, I think, gain insight into this. So
I think so too. And it might be that our kind of lab-based measurements we do online don't truly capture some of the nuances that happen when you're having conversations in, you know, in the real world. So it might even be that's the best case scenario, but it could be a lot more difficult in real life when you're trying to, you know, read expressions and these sorts of things.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. Yeah. Okay, so I've just got one more question for you. So what's the key message here to audiologists, and what should audiologists be telling their patients as we know things right now, do you think?
Yes. Well, so I guess a general comment I might make before I answer your question is that my own view is that the World Health Organization and the UK government currently have it correct, that face masks are not really required by the general public unless you have symptoms or you're caring for someone with symptoms. That's quite different, of course, from saying there should be face coverings for essential workers working on the front line. But of course, if the government view changes or if someone decides just as a precaution they want to wear them, as many people are starting to do, I think I would say just consider the possible unintended consequences, especially for people with a hearing loss, because I think there could be huge consequences for communication, raising anxiety and creating social isolation. So you need to weigh up the pros and cons of the different types of face coverings. It might even be a case of trying the different face coverings yourself to decide which one's going to suit you and your family. And finally, it occurs to me that if people are going to be wearing things like face visors, and that is going to be interfering with communication, it would be great if someone designed a little sticker that you could just put on the corner of your visor, not that it so would obstruct your visual field, but a little sticker that says, you know, please speak clearly and slowly. That would be the advice I would give right now. But I, you know, watch this space. I think there's a lot of important work to be done by people like us, the Manchester Centre for Audiology and Deafness. And it's, we hope to be playing a full part.
Yeah. So the message to patients is that they should be proactive and advocate for themselves and ask people who are wearing a face covering to speak slowly and clearly.
I agree.
The message to the patients. Okay. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for your time. It's been a wonderful discussion. And now to those of you listening, as I mentioned earlier, if you want to ask follow-up questions or give us feedback or share ideas for future topics for our podcasts, send me an email. My email is on the front page of the MANCAD website at the URL I gave you earlier. But if you want my email address, it's Gabrielle, GABRIELLE, dot Saunders, SAUNDERS, at manchester.ac.uk. I hope you enjoyed this discussion and that you'll come back to hear our next podcast. We'll get the word out when it's the next one's available, but it will be within the next month. And until then, farewell and stay well. Thank you.